Givewell Board Meeting, January 3rd, 2008.
Hi, this is Virginia Zink calling in from Sydney.
Hey.
Hi, Virginia. Hi, how are you?
Well, thanks.
Good.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
All right, well, I think we've got everyone on the line. Shall we begin?
Yes.
Yeah.
Holden, you want to start off with, I guess, with the summary of events? I think that the attachment roughly covers that which has gone on. Do you feel that it doesn't, and or maybe we just want to highlight the key points so that everyone's on the same page?
Yeah, I mean, the key points to me are that, a lot of Ellie and I engaged in quite a bit, and unfortunately we didn't systematically track just posting comments and, talking about GiveWell and making our arguments, and they were posted under our names. Nearly all the activity was under our names because we weren't really interested in trying to hide anything. But in a lot of those comments, we didn't say, I'm from GiveWell, this is what I do. There's behavior that I haven't cataloged, although the Metafilter community did largely catalog it, that falls under that heading. I see that behavior as we should have disclosed what we were about, and we should have disclosed where we're from, but, we were making no attempt to hide our identities. So it falls into that category for me. And we also did not, we didn't bash other charities. We questioned other people's recommendations of them. We said, what do you know about what they do? And we absolutely did criticize Charity Navigator's methodology, as we do constantly. So that's one category of behavior. And then there's a different category, which, really only happened at the end when I was, when I was looking for a way to get a little last-second traffic before the new year hit. And I was overzealous, and I posted under names that did not identify me. And so the specifics are, I used a couple old accounts I had that were under the name Jeremiah, which is my middle name, which doesn't identify me. So I asked a question on Lifehacker that was something like, can you help me find a good charity to donate to? And I made a comment on Lifehacker the next day. Lifehacker's a blog, just saying, I like GiveWell.net better than Charity Navigator, when they wrote about Charity Navigator. I sent 10 emails to bloggers using basically a Teal account I had created, just saying, hey, GiveWell.net helped me make a donation, you should check it out. And finally, I did the Ask Metafilter thing, where I asked a question, I'm looking to make a donation, can you help me? And then I created another account, Holden, with the name Holden. It was called Holden Zero, and said, you should try GiveWell.net. And then when someone, responded to that, kind of criticizing it, I was logged back in as Jeremiah, and I marked the Holden answer as the best answer, and then I defended the Holden answer as Jeremiah. So that was, all of that activity falls into the category of using false anonymous identities. And it was wrong, and the explanation, I can tell you what was going through my head. I think the large point that I want to make is that honesty is a really important value to me, really important to me not to withhold information, and I recognize that our values of honesty and transparency are compromised by those actions that I took. And I think those two things can be simultaneously true, that I compromise those values and that I hold those values very strongly. And I don't intend to ever do that sort of behavior again. And I made a lapse of judgment in thinking about what it meant to do this kind of behavior and how deceptive it was. And so I can go more into that. But I mean, that basically, I had a certain thought in my head of how people would read these comments and didn't think they would, see them as objective, thought they would just check them out, would bring them to check out GiveWell on the merits, and I think that it didn't occur to me that a lot of people see these kind of comments from non-identifying handles as being, you know, objective, trustworthy people with no connection. And so, anyway, I was wrong, and what I did was wrong, and compromised the value that's very important to me. So that was the deceptive behavior. And then finally, there's the issue of how I responded when called out. And I maintain that I basically acted appropriately when called out. The first thing I did was, you know, I didn't know what to do. I was in a very emotional state, and I just kind of went on that thread and asked them what I should do and brought up the idea of making a donation because I'd broken their rules, and that's how I was thinking of it. I broke their rules. I should, you know, make something up to them. As soon as someone said that could be interpreted as a bribe, then I said, forget it, I'm not doing that. And I never meant it as a bribe, and in fact, my original offer said in so many words, and it's in the attachment, I don't mean this as a bribe. And then there was a good suggestion from a community member to make a public apology. So my initial public apology was only for the metaculture transgression, and then they said, you better, you know, we want to know everything you've done that's deceptive. And so I took some thought and took a little time and put everything I could think of. And then they went and found the stuff that I had named. You know, I want to be clear that there was not any cases of, you know, when I went from the metafilter apology to the general apology, I put everything in there that I knew of and also everything that they have found. So that's where we are. And I guess that's my version of events. It's in the attachment. It pretty much syncs up with the metafilter version of events. I mean, they also make some other claims, but that's a, you know, what I've given you is a complete and true account of my misbehavior.
Alden, this is Lucy. I have a question that just occurred to me in hearing that verbal recitation, which I appreciate, even though I've read it all.
Yep.
When did you first contact a board member about this? Or when did one of us contact you first?
I emailed the board. I mean, we can look at the email and see what time it was sent.
So you emailed the board once you'd put the apology up.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was the first or the second apology, but I basically took the blog post, emailed it to the board.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, it was at 3:51 on December 31st. So.
Okay. And I just want to ask, did everybody get the email that I sent today?
This is Lucy. Lucy, this is Virginia. I haven't got your email that you sent today. I'm down in Sydney and don't have email connected yet, although I did spend some time yesterday and read through and printed off everything relevant to today's conversation, but I haven't seen your recent one.
Is there a way for me to get it to you now or no?
No, unfortunately not.
And for those who have read it, and if you don't mind my taking a second then to explain to Virginia, I think it's very important that we have this conversation in the context of a discussion about GiveWell as an organization, not just Holden as a person.
Uh-huh.
And thus, for me, the question of when the board was notified, when Holden reached out to the board to let us know what happened and when we stepped in is a part of a larger pattern that, in my opinion, as I outlined in the email, I think there are a number of things we haven't been doing very well as a board. I take as much responsibility for that as everyone else on the board. I'm not suggesting that we take this conversation to fix the organization, but I think as we try to figure out how to address this immediate issue and concern, it behooves us to keep in mind what GiveWell is as an organization, what it is as a public trust, and what our responsibilities to it as board members are.
Yep.
And I'll send it to you anyway, Virginia.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. Thank you. Hold on, it's Virginia here. I just had one more question. I'm not sure whether you touched on it. Just the comment about using a new or different employees of GiveWell using their IP addresses.
Yeah.
So what was that? Can you just explain that in more detail?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure Monday morning, the 31st, and I wanted to send some emails to bloggers that you know, I'd already emailed him once as Holden, so, I mean, it was irresponsible and bad, but I said, you know, want to use another name. I don't really care if it's a name that turns out to be associated with GiveWell. I'm, again, the thought in my head was, let's hide the affiliation from immediate dismissal and not try to hide it in a deep way. And so, you know, I had this kind of placeholder account for him, this email account, and that had his name on it, and I sent those emails.
Who is that person, Holden? Who's the employee?
Phil Liddow, and he's not on the call because he's in Thailand, but he's available. Like, we can call him.
Right, okay.
Does anyone else have any questions about sort of the facts of Holden's behavior?
From my perspective, this is Virginia, I think it's pretty clear. As I said, I've printed out everything. I've listened to Holden's explanation. So I think from what I've gathered, I'm pretty right. But
I actually would like to propose, I mean, if we could quickly go around, and I'd like to hear what everyone read, didn't read.
Because
there's, I mean, obviously there's, you know, there's a lot to read, so I'm assuming everyone read my attachments, but any of the other stuff.
Yep. I can start. This is Bob Elliott. I got through Metafilter as of this morning at about 6 a.m. And basically tried to track down most of the public comment that I could find related to this issue, as well as reading, of course, all the materials that you sent out in prep for this.
So you read the whole thread through this morning at 6 a.m.
That's right.
And you read the wiki and the timeline.
The wiki and as well as others' responses, you know, the New York Magazine, the Chronicle, Philanthropy, the Agitator, all that stuff.
Okay, so you really tried to go all over the place with the links. Yeah, that also is, I mean, that's where I am too, pretty much.
This is Lucy. I've read the Metafilter thread. I've read the Metafilter wiki. I've read the attachments that Holden sent. I've read through the philanthropy.com give and take and the whole discussion on my blog. I've checked a few other links like Uncivil Society. I haven't gone beyond that.
Yeah, this is Greg. I read the Metafilter thing too, sometime this afternoon, and
you're talking about the full comment thread.
The full comment thread, and I also went to some of the links of other sites. I don't know what they were though, but followed through some of the links that were on there.
This is Virginia. I've done basically exactly the same as Greg did. Everything with I had a lapse in judgment, and then all the comments from, you know, the GiveWell chronology through the wiki, and as Greg said, looked at a couple of other sites, the links into them, but didn't completely do all the threads that were there.
Okay.
This is Tim. I read through the Metafilter thread as of yesterday. I haven't looked at it at all today. I've read through part of the Chronicle Philanthropy thread. I've read the Metafilter wiki, and Holden's attachments.
Okay. That's everyone, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
So, Holden, there was one, this is a little bit at the detail level, and I want to go to people's comments more than be at the detail level, but I there was another thing that smelled like not true to me from you, but I was wondering if it is true, which is on the Metafilter when you're going through that back and forth, and after you decided that you shouldn't have suggested to give money, you said that somebody suggested it to you, and I was just wondering who did.
That was just a random friend that I was talking to. I mean, I can tell you his name if you'd like, but not it was not a GiveWell person. It wasn't a person who's affiliated in any way with GiveWell. It was on like GChat and. And I was just, you know, I was freaking out, and I said, you know, what do you think I should do?
Okay.
You know, I was at the level of, like, should I, you know, come in here at all? Should I talk to them? Like, I was freaking out.
Okay. Well, I mean, my take on that, although I'll believe you, Holden, because of my long history with you, but that sounded like bullshit to me, too, first off, because it was incredibly dumb advice. And second off,
yep.
I don't know who would have given you that stupid advice. And that. So anyway, that's how I read that. So I wanted to hear from you that you weren't lying when you said that.
I was not lying when I said that it was another person's suggestion, that the thought had not gone into my head until the person suggested it. And if you want the identity of that person, I can disclose it. I just don't find it very relevant because they're not affiliated with Goodwill.
Okay.
Hold on. I had a question just pertaining to the overall thing, because you talk about your apology after you were caught.
Yep.
But what I wanted to know is, had it occurred to you, or do you think it was going to occur to you that this was not honest or ethical, or was it really the fact that on the Metafilter thing that Miko, I think it was, sort of started to smell a rat and think, hang on, what's going on here? So that then prompted your apology. But I wanted to know, would you have come to a point where you would have apologised or understood that what you did was not particularly, well, sort of being, it was pretty damaging to Giveworld, basically.
You're saying if I'd never been caught on Metafilter,
yep.
would I have apologized?
Yep.
It's honestly a hard question for me to answer. Like, I feel like it's a mistaken judgment that I made about what's appropriate on the internet. Like, it was something that I thought was kind of not abusing trust and not inappropriate, or very mildly inappropriate. I made that judgment. Like, I re-examined my thoughts on everything occasionally, and especially in conversations with people. So, I mean, it's just hard for me to answer that question. Like, it's possible that I would have, and it's possible that it just would have faded from my mind. And I'm not really sure what to say. Like, all I can really say is that, like, that I made a bad judgment about what that behavior constitutes and how inappropriate it is. And, like, looking back, I see that it was wrong. And looking back, I regret it. And, you know. I should just give, because I feel like I'm leaving out my explanation of why this is, or what was, like, this is my own, you know, nothing's written down, so I'm just trying to go through what was going through my head. But basically the way that I have thought of anonymous comments on the internet is that whenever I read an anonymous comment, I figure it could be a plug. I figure it could be from an affiliated person, and I don't really care. I really just, like, I follow what catches my interest, and I try to evaluate it on the merits, and I basically don't trust a word that I read on the internet. I mean, unless it comes from a handle that I do recognize and has a long history. So that's I kind of projected that mentality onto everyone else in the world, and I basically, you know, to me, spam on the internet is a reality, and I kind of always assume I'm looking at it, and it, you know, I just, it didn't strike me. I just projected that mentality onto other people, and that was wrong. And I do think that if everyone did have that mentality, I mean, I don't think my actions would have been that inappropriate. And I got, you know, when our site got all the attention, we got a lot of emails promoting various charities, and a lot of them did not disclose any affiliation, and may have been affiliated, and I just, you know, I didn't care. And so we took those charities and we added them to our list, just like the people who did disclose, and we just didn't react. So to me, it's, you know, it's a difference in what anonymity means and how anonymity is read, and therefore how much of an abuse of trust it is to take on anonymity. And so I, you know, I took on anonymity, I took on a role play, and in my mind, like, if someone did that to me, I wouldn't really care, and so I projected that. And having seen people's reaction, I recognized that was wrong. And so the question, you know, whether that would have occurred to me later, I mean, I don't know the answer, and probably eventually at some point it would have.
Right, yeah.
Right. One of the things that's a little bit on my mind is when you're responding to your motivations, like,
yep.
When you talk about sort of the causes of this lapse in judgment, like,
yep.
it seems somewhat different than what you're saying now. Like, you write on your blog post, I was low on sleep, you know, I've been running around like a madman, as opposed to what you're saying now, which seems, you know, a little different, which is saying, like, yeah, well, I'm thinking about this situation, I'm thinking that people will, you know, read it with a skeptical eye, and so, you know, I don't think that it's, in some ways, it's not that big a deal, right?
Okay.
And those things seem a little different to me, you know?
I mean, I thought I expressed this thought maybe a little bit less articulately on the blog post. Like, I don't have a lot to say about this because I'm trying to analyze my own thoughts, and I don't, you know, I don't real, like, now when I look at what I did, I just go, that was wrong. And so I'm trying to, like, go back and remember and interpret what I was thinking, and I don't, like, I don't find myself fully reliable at that. I think it's hard to go back and remember what your logic was and pull it out, because it's not like I wrote down my reasoning or anything. I just wasn't thinking very much. So, you know, when I made this blog post, I said I was simply trying to make comments that would not be immediately dismissed as plugs, but rather explored on their merits. I now recognize that by not disclosing my identity, I created the appearance of an objective observer, and that was wrong. I mean, to me, that's an expression of the principles I just did, and the low on sleep thing. I mean, I've caught a lot of heat for that, and look, I threw it out there because when I look back at what I decided now seems stupid and wrong to me, and it's the fact that, like, you know, my brain was not working that well, and I mean, it isn't working that great right now. So I don't know. Like, I'm not really sure how productive this all is. Like, I'm doing my best to figure out what I was thinking, and the only things I can say generally are that it didn't feel wrong when I did it. I don't do things that feel like they're very wrong. In retrospect, it feels wrong and it looks wrong, and I never want to do it again. I mean, that seems like the important point, and the rest is me trying to dig into why it didn't feel wrong and why now it does.
Does anyone else have any other questions, I guess? I think we probably want to move into...
Yeah, I think move on. Yep.
Move to what we're going
to... move on.
Yep.
How we're going to approach this.
Well, I mean, I think that, like, I don't know when or how to fit this into this agenda here, but, like, when we should, like I would just want to offer up my thoughts on this a little bit.
Right.
Less questions than thoughts. So is this a good time to do that? Or
yeah, I think.
Yeah, I think we should all agree on what transpired, and then move on to what we should do. So whatever topic.
Right. Well, maybe thoughts on what transpired as well, not just the facts. So I think this would be a good time for people who want to offer up their thoughts on what happened, their view.
Right. I mean, I think that the big point, which I believe is true about Holden, is that he didn't realize what he was doing was wrong, and then recognize it afterwards, which is different. Like reading the blog posts and some of your comments on Meta really did piss me off, because I think you sounded like you were spinning instead of saying what I think is actually true, which is what you just described, which is that you didn't realize that you hadn't thought about it correctly. When then somebody helped you think about it correctly, you changed your mind about what you were doing, and I think that's the reality of what happened and is much more reasonable to me than to believe it had much or anything to do with sleep, or that you saw it as a bad thing and that you're just being tired that made you do it. It was that your awareness was raised and you appreciate your awareness being raised. And I think that the people on Meta have a good point about that, and that your the tendency you did move away from, like, what should be your tendency, which is to be honest about things. And I think it's good to have that this happened to you in a way that's like in this way, because it just reflects on, in all circumstances, you should start from a frame of reference of honesty. And I think that it makes much more sense to me that you didn't recognize what you were doing as dishonest than it does to believe that it had anything to do with being tired or whatever. And the other, you know, and then I think a lot, if you go, your posts are, like, particularly the part about offering money, like, man, when you read that, it comes off as so incredibly stupid. And your whole, that whole exchange, like, I hardly know you when I read that exchange, and I think of how stupid that whole exchange was in the way you went about it. And so, I mean, that was, you know, disappointing to me and embarrassing, I think, to... you know, I mean, you come around to making some reasonable points, but in general, that whole exchange was very embarrassing to this whole enterprise, I think. And I don't know. I mean, one of the things I want to get a sense of from everybody, although I think it's not, you know, a nail in the coffin or anything, but I don't know how big a deal sort of the ethical bank run is. Like, my comment is, I know that you're an ethical guy. I know you did this for the right reasons. I'm absolutely certain of it. I know what you've given up. I know a lot of the things they say about you are are wrong. I know all of those things, and at the same time, having all of this stuff out there on the internet when people search about GiveWell, I don't know what the impact of that is. And it's like a bank with like your reputation or GiveWell's reputation. It is a little bit like a bank run in that if enough people think it's bad, that's like such a huge problem. I think that we can work around. We should push through this, and but it is a real issue to say how bad is that impact. And I don't know if others have thoughts on it. I haven't given it enough thought to have a strong view on how much it will saddle GiveWell for a long time, that there are all of these blogs out there with all these views on what GiveWell is doing, that to me, honestly, if I was going and looking for something like GiveWell and found these things, it would have an impact on me, even though I know a lot of what they're saying about your motives and whatever are just absolutely wrong. I don't know how I would overcome that uncertainty, and so I think that that's a real issue to talk about when we're talking about sustaining. Sustaining GiveWell is whether that how bad that damage is. When I first heard about this, I didn't suspect it would be all that significant. But having poured through it now, my concern about that is larger. In the end, I know that my basic thoughts are that Holden's a great guy, and Ellie's are both of you guys are great guys who are doing this, trying to do this for the right reasons. I think that the lapse was a bad one in that you didn't start from honesty and then go, and that's a real bad problem. On the other hand, I think it is totally true that you didn't think of what you were doing as wrong. You weren't really trying to deceive anybody. You just saw it as kind of aggressive guerrilla marketing. I think that that's exactly what happened, and I know that everything that you've done in terms of trying to do this are for good reasons, and I know what you've given up to do it. So those are my thoughts.
Greg, this is Virginia here. Just saying that you've expressed a lot of what I feel, so I won't say too much more. I think the major concern I had was, A, the incredible lack of judgment in terms of the position that Holden holds at GiveWell. So it's not just an anonymous blogger, it is someone who's actually executive director of this organisation. And the major concern I've had is that it is, I didn't see it as such a big deal until I started to really read through it, and then the concern I had is that any time somebody sees GiveWell, what it will do in the future in terms of, it's not like old day newspapers where they'll fish and shipwreck us a week later. This will be there for a long time. So I think that's a concern I've got. I do hear what Holden's saying and accept that. But the key things I had was the lack of judgment in the position that he had and what it will do for GiveWell long term in the way that we are sort of trying to set ourselves up promoting honesty and ethics.
And this is Lucy. I think Greg and Virginia have really identified two of the core issues. The third one, I agree with those and won't repeat them. I think, though, there's perhaps a slight expansion of both points is that GiveWell has positioned itself to be a game changer, and in that regard, I think it's not enough for us to set ourselves out to be as good as is expected or legally required, but to be much better than that. And in fact, I think we have proven to be much less than even that baseline. And so I think the job of being a credible, trustworthy source of information, we're now starting in the red. And that's pretty problematic. And I guess the second one is just a comment from my lived experience in the last 2 days watching this unfold, is that not only will the existing comments stay live for everyone to see, there are I think any assumption that there will be anything but intensified scrutiny and, those who've tasted blood will continue to seek it will be the reality in which GiveWell would continue to try to operate, which means not only must we not be gray, we must be snow white, And not only are we operating in a sort of baseline neutral situation, but under even stronger and, I would argue, rightfully so, intensified scrutiny.
Right.
I think that's a good point, Lucy.
But I would also add, I agree with that, but also add that this is when you, what we have with Holden, you know, you get the good with the bad, in that the good is that he's innovative, he's aggressive, he's cares a tremendous amount and is, like, out there trying to do this really hard. And with that is going to come, like, it doesn't, in one sense, it, like, it's not surprising to me that he made a pretty big mistake. That's a maturity, wisdom type of mistake, because he's neither mature nor wise, and that's a fact. At the same time, he's incredibly innovative, creative, and it is a lot of the stuff that's being said about him is patently false, and it would be a shame to let that, you know, for us to let that. Change our conviction in those other things, and the point being that somebody that's aggressive and innovative and has good intentions, as I think we all know Holden does, you want that. Anyway, this is a side effect of that people that are like that have things like this happen to them.
Right, but I think we can, we can think about how we can try and address the weaknesses, the weaknesses that he does have somewhat, in order to make sure that, the strengths are not outweighed by the weaknesses, right? And so, to the extent that we can, I think, provide better guidance, to have someone helping someone a little wiser, helping him think about things, I think could be valuable, and in trying to ensure that things like this are addressed quickly, or are not going to happen in the future, because that is that rush, that thing that Holden was talking about, responding emotionally and diving in just sort of almost in a hectic way in a time of scrutiny, is a concern, and is something that I think is not something that's going to quickly and easily go away just because of one lesson learned. So I think we have to keep that in mind and try and, I completely agree and want to echo what Greg's saying about the motivations, about, what brings him to this work is about helping people and passion for finding great work that people are doing. And so, we want to make sure that he's able to continue to do that.
This is Tim, just jumping in with a couple of thoughts. One thing is, I don't think we should forget about Ellie in all of this. This is not just Holden. Ellie participated in some similar things, if not quite as egregious, than what happened on Metafilter, and so it's not just about Holden in that regard. And I think we should be talking about Holden and Ellie wherever possible.
So can I ask a question about that, Tim? My understanding, although I may be wrong about this, is that Ellie always used the name Ellie but did not always say that he was connected to Givewell, which, like, in my, I don't know what other people think. I'm not as understanding of blogs or the whole, like, what people would expect or whatever, but that seems like, it seems significantly different to me, if my understanding.
I think there is a material, one of these comments I was going to make, Greg, is that there is, in my mind, a material difference between the comments where they used their own names, which linked back to Givewell, and used the Givewell link. In my view, if you're not even going to mouse over the name of the commenter to find out where they're from, or look at Givewell closely enough to see that Holden posted a comment about Givewell and Holden is the executive director, I think that is materially different than what happened on Metafilter. That being said, as I understand it, Ellie did participate in a couple of conversations where he essentially posted a question and then answered the question. Which is not the same as what happened on Metafilter, but it's not that far away.
Yeah, so this is Ellie. Tim, I did that once, both you saying, using my name Ellie and Ellie linked to GiveWell.
Okay.
Ben.
The other comment I would make, though, and somewhat taking off of what Greg said about both the motivations of Holden and the bad that comes with the good is, you know, I think that clearly implicates the board as well, that that this isn't all that surprising that Holden would do something like this. And I think one of the things we also have to face up to is we as a board have focused as an advisory board, not as a board of directors, and we've let Holden and Ellie go off and do their own thing while being relatively minimally involved and providing Holden and Ellie with more than enough rope to hang themselves. And if we're saying that part of the issue there is that they're neither mature nor wise enough, then that really reflects on us as much as it does on them, that we gave them that much rope. And so I just want to make sure that that piece is part of the conversation as well, that it's not just, okay, what does the board do now, but it's also a recognition from the board that we gave them too much rope, given who they are and their experience and maturity and wisdom.
Tim, this is Virginia, just a comment on that as to you know, the role of the board, and just whether there was, I don't have a recollection of when it was ever discussed as to how we would be involved in the day-to-day running of the organisation as opposed to, as you correctly pointed out, just an advisory board. So did I miss something, or was it a case that this was just inferred and we all sort of understood that this is how it would work without ever actually having the discussion as to how involved we should be on a day-to-day basis and making sure that someone was being reported to on what they were planning on doing on day-to-day strategy for winning or promoting GiveWell?
In my recollection, we didn't ever come to that level of discussion. However, it is part of the definition of what a board of directors does, is it essentially decides how much leeway the executive has.
Mm-hmm.
And by not making a decision to constrain that leeway, we essentially gave him the green light to have as much leeway as he wanted.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, we had at our first board of directors meeting, I put something like, you know, this is what the board has approved and agreed on, and basically, I mean, I can find the exact words, but then basically the rest is up to Holden. And so that, like, I don't think that was an implicit decision. I think it was explicit and probably the wrong decision. And wow. Part of my thought is, I'm just going back through how that happened and what I was thinking, and, you know, I really wanted to do this, and I wanted a board of directors of people who, you know, who had more experience than I did and all that, but the people I knew who fit the bill, who might support me, were all pretty busy people, so I didn't want to ask a lot of them, and that's part of the question, too.
Right, and so to me, it's all, everything is probabilistic, but I'm not, like, I want to be clear about two things I said about Holden. I'm not surprised that Holden did something immature and that we're going to have to deal with that. At the same time, you know, a lot of that brashness and whatever has led to good things for GiveWell. And I'm not convinced, like, I don't know what, I'd be interested to hear other people's suggestions, but having somebody else reining them in or something like that, I haven't figured out how I would want that to work. And certainly when I signed up for the board, I meant it to be, the only thing I could give is, I think about the employees, think about the gifts, et cetera. I'm not going to get involved with the day-to-day decision-making, and did want to leave that to somebody who I knew and was fully passionate about it, even with the recognition that the trade-off was that while I think he's very smart and all that, that the maturity and the wisdom was a trade-off. If there was somebody to plug in who could somehow give maturity and wisdom without constraining the good qualities, like, I'm all open to that. I think that's a good idea. But that was I hadn't thought of that, nor did anybody else mention it or whatever. And so I think that it was kind of a reasonable probabilistic decision, and I never expected this particular outcome. It's just not surprising that there was something that would piss a whole lot of people off that was questionable that Holden did.
Yeah, I just want to comment. I mean, we, you know, GiveWell 6 months ago really was. I mean, I wanted to do something. I wanted to try and do something, and felt very strongly about it, but didn't have contacts in the sector. I talked to anyone who would talk to me. I talked to a lot of people who had experience in the sector, and I asked them for ideas on the project, and asked them if they thought it was a good idea. But I didn't know people who could invest significant time. And this really ran as a startup, as like, you know, two guys shouting into the wind is really what we've been. And then overnight we got all this attention, and it was no longer appropriate to run that way, if it ever was. So like we may now be more able and more in need of getting more experienced people to invest more time. I mean, I certainly talked to more experienced people early on, but you know, to get their thoughts on the project as a whole. But I didn't know anyone who had the maturity and wisdom and experience and would be willing to invest a lot of time in GiveWell.
Right. Matt, I think we've explored the, I guess, the issues related to Holden, the positives and the negatives. I wonder if we shouldn't move now towards sort of what we're going to do about it. In reference to this more specific instance, as well as sort of broadly strategically thinking about what we're going to do. People feel comfortable with that? I'm happy.
It's Virginia here. Could you just describe to me, I'm not sure, are you all in one room or people in different locations? What's the
different
setup?
Location.
Different locations. Whereabouts are you? Are you with Greg?
No, I think only Bob and Greg are together.
Right.
Bob and Greg are together.
Yep,
right.
We're in the same room.
My suggestion would be, and I'm sure someone was going to voice this anyway, is appropriate to have Holden Ellie while we have this discussion offline and come back to them.
Yeah, I mean, I thought we would, the way I laid it out in the agenda is I thought we would kind of, we'd go over the issues with us present so we could give our feedback, and then we would disconnect and you guys
okay.
Get you to make any decisions.
Right.
That sounds fine.
Like, I don't know how much I really have to add at this point, but do you have any other...
Well, I think that I would like to hear what you think. I mean, I want Holden on to get his suggestions for the what should we do part of this.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I agree that we should discuss it just without them after that, but I think that, I mean, maybe you could just go with that, Holden, what you think we should do.
All right, well, my basic thoughts... you know, to me, it's kind of three decisions. It's number one, do we continue the project? Number two, do we, you know, what do we do to discipline me and, you know, and kind of show and act on the fact that what I did was wrong? And number three, what can we do to take preventative measures and improve GiveWell in the future? So I'll just give my thoughts on all three. Number one, I think GiveWell should continue. I think that everyone on this call, some people know me well, and some people really don't know me well, but I think everyone on this call agrees that I'm a good person, I'm working hard, I believe in this, and that my lapse in judgment was just that, a lapse in judgment. So as far as materially, you know, the concern raised about whether, you know, whether I can still be committed to transparency and honesty, I mean, you guys are going to vote on that. I think the answer is yes. And then there's this other question of, well, regardless of what the truth is, you know, is this incident going to stop other people from supporting us? And my answer to that question, and you guys may go a different direction, my answer is that we just got to let the market decide. And so I think the most appropriate action in my mind, if I were to decide, is that the board should do what it thinks is right and not what it thinks is tactical in the face of what other people will think. So the board should take appropriate disciplinary and preventative measures. We should post that. We should be totally forthcoming about it. We should post the full account of what happened, the full apology, put it on the blog, not hide it, and then move on with our business, like not make this who we are, not make this what we're about, and go, you know, go try to get supporters and raise money and do all the things we're going to do. And if this thing, if this issue stops people from supporting us to the extent where we can't survive anymore, then we will go out of business. But that's not the decision I would make at this meeting, because I think that's something the market can decide. So that's my take on whether GiveWell should continue, and I do believe having talked to Ellie and Teal, I do believe that GiveWell continuing and my staying with GiveWell are pretty much the same question. That's also debatable, but that's my opinion. And then moving on, you know, what should we do to discipline me? I don't have much thoughts on this. I think a public reprimand is appropriate. I don't know. I'm open to whatever you guys want to do to discipline me. I mean, I feel terrible. So what I did. I mostly want to leave that in your hands. And then what preventative measures should we take? I mean, I would like to build a stronger, more active set of more experienced, mature, wise people. I'm certainly, if you guys want me to have a supervisor, I'll be happy with that, not upset with it. You know, and so again, this is kind of a market decides thing. Like, there's a question of, can we do that? Will we be able to find people who are mature and wise and experienced and willing to play such a big role in this project? But as far as what I would decide at this board meeting, yeah, I think we should try. We should try to build GiveWell into something with a large, active set of mature, wise, experienced experts, and whatever role I play in that. I mean, you know, I don't have to be even executive director. Like, I don't care, and haven't thought about it very much. But you know, I just want to play the role that I can play and use my strengths. And it certainly won't bother me to have anyone there to rein in my weaknesses and, you know, control me. None of that will bother me as long as they're good, right? And that's the question, whether we can get someone who we believe in to do that. So I guess what I would decide at this meeting is I would decide to discipline me and, like, make a resolution that we will try to get the right people behind the project, and we will try to make the project work. And that's what I would decide if it were up to me.
Right, I think that I'll offer up my thoughts, particularly on the first question. Like, I think that there's a lot of great things in terms of changing the way that people think about evaluating charity that this organization, this project, has to offer. And integral to that is the strengths that Holden shows. And I think Holden's ability to do the analysis that you can read online is integral to this work. Holden and Ellie is integral to having this project succeed. And so I think about, do we want to have GiveWell continue? And I think it can make a great contribution to the way that we think about evaluating charity, the way that we give philanthropy, and we've got great people who have the capability to do that really well. And I put those things together, and I say, yeah, I want to continue the GiveWell project, and I want to continue it with Holden. That said, I think that we need to be explicit about what we think is offensive and wrong that Holden did. I think the posting under names which aren't his is clearly wrong, and we need to be forceful and strong in responding to that, both through publicly stating it on the blog and posting to whatever relevant sites there are, as well as I think doing a non-trivial reprimand beyond that. I think something related to pay would be appropriate. I don't know if we can go into the details when Holden's offline, and as well as, I think, taking some more proactive steps to make sure that this doesn't happen in the future. I think we should be clear about a communications policy. I think we should make sure that every time Holden and Ellie are communicating on any blog, that they're making it clear that they're from GiveWell, to in order to avoid any thought that they're being an objective observer or that they're independent of the sites and comments that they're expressing.
So, I don't know what would be accomplished by having Holden get off the call. If others feel like that would encourage them to talk in some way that they won't with Holden there, I'm happy to do that. To me, I think we could have this conversation with Holden. I don't see any purpose. I would want to, have this be part of the public discussion as well. So I wouldn't see the reason to have Holden not be involved in this conversation. But if others feel differently, then we could have Holden you know, get off. My vote would be to just have the conversation with Holden.
I want to say that I think if Holden's on this or not, like, I think we have to have the whole tape online published, no matter what. So he's going to hear it either now or he's going to hear it 2 days from now when we post it. You know what I mean?
All right. This is Lucy. I understand that, and I had actually asked Holden for clarification of that public record thing. Even with the knowledge that this is public record, I believe that standard protocol is for a decision about an employee's hiring, firing, salary, budget, things like that, that it should be done in executive session, and that in the interest of doing this right, we should ask the staff to get off the call.
Lucy, I totally agree with you. This is Virginia, and I was going to make exactly that point.
I'll throw my weight on that suggestion.
Okay.
You guys want me and Ellie to hang up now?
Well,
yes.
Well, hold on. I mean, I'd like in some ways for us to, I mean, I guess, Holden, do you have any other thoughts, for instance, about what I said, or?
I thought what you said pretty much matched with what I said. I mean, okay. you brought up a financial penalty, and okay, I mean, if you guys want to do that, then and I won't object or anything. Okay. I don't have an argument to make against that. I think it's appropriate to punish me.
Although I think the bigger principle of whether to agree or disagree on is whether, is whether we want to punish for show, or is there really like a point to that punishment that we think Holden's going to learn a different lesson or like something like that related
to? I don't know. I think that's a conversation for you guys. I mean, like if you want my input on whether that's going to impact what I learn. I mean,
right.
No, I feel awful, and if you guys didn't do anything, I don't like my input is that it makes no difference that you may as well not discipline me at all. But that's not my way of trying to get out of discipline. That's just what I think. So,
right. Okay, so should we move forward then?
Yeah.
Have them hang up and then call, like, we'll call you guys back, I guess, somehow?
I would just say send me an email and I'll be by my email or, you
okay.
know. And I don't know if I'll actually be by my email, so maybe, let me just give you a number in case I don't pick up the email.
Shall I just call you on your 718 number?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
I'll do that.
So just for clarification's sake, if Holden and Ellie hang up, the recording still continues?
Well, we can decide that after they hang up, I guess.
Well, but, like, physically...
No, it's my expectation that it will. I just want to make sure that technologically...
Oh, yeah, we've got a tape recorder right in front of me.
I mean, the recording I'm doing will obviously stop, but... I mean, that's not very relevant. Okay.
Right, so we can decide which one of the two to post or whatever, whenever we want to, although...
I started mine late, too, so I'd vote for Bob to record it.
Okay, we've got it all recorded here.
Okay, so I'm hanging up now. Ellie, are you hanging up?
Yeah, I'm hanging up, too.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's my last words on this call. Bye.
Bye.
This
is Ellie. I'm back.
Oh. Hey, Ellie.
Hey,
Ellie.
Hey. I can. That's fine. Although you concisely stated the plan, so...
This is Holden.
Holden,
hey, Holden.
What's going on?
Hey.
So we talked about, broadly in answer to the various questions that we... That you had posed and that we were thinking about, which is related to, you know, do we want to see GiveWell continue to exist? And I think the answer is clearly yes. In our conversation, we went into some depth about, you know, what we thought your strengths and your weaknesses were, and as well as your motivations. And I think, you know, particularly on the motivation side, became pretty clear that most people agreed that your motivations, both for you and Ellie, your motivations to come to this work were, you know, we want to confirm our you know, highly noble, and that your passion for this work is related to, you know, really, really wanting to figure out great ways to help people, and that we, you know, we approve of that, and we think, you know, we wanted to confirm that, and we'll confirm that publicly, And I think both Greg and I wanted further in writing associated with that confirm our confidence in your character broadly, given that we have more perspective on it than do some of the other people on the conversation. So we want to communicate that information publicly as part of our decision. As far as taking steps in reference to this, that we want to first go ahead and demote your position from that of executive director to that of program officer, with the idea of wanting to limit your responsibilities in response to what we saw was a failure in your ability to deliver those executive director responsibilities as effectively as we would need to see. As part of that process, I think it makes sense that we want to invest in your development, invest in your professional development so that you can become a leader at GiveWell in the future. And so the way that we want to approach that is by essentially having you, take professional development courses in the nonprofit field that you find and that you'll be expected to find over the next couple months and that you'll pay for that. Furthermore, I think we want to take the responsibility to draft a communications policy, which makes it, as part of that program officership, we want to draft both job responsibilities for program officer as well as executive director, where there will be no executive director right now, but we will have a job responsibility for it, and it's something that we'll reconsider in 3 to 6 months in the future. We want to make it clear what the difference in the responsibilities are, so that'll be part of our process. We also want to draft a communications policy which touches on and emphasizes issues of clarity and transparency in your communications. Until we get to the point where we've drafted that policy and have approved it, both you and Ellie will not be allowed to post on any sites other than the GiveWell blog and obviously the GiveWell website. And then following that, we've agreed that there'll be some proactive management of your posts on alternate sites. Beforehand review, and then eventually with the idea of being sort of review following your posting somewhere down the line, though the details of that haven't been worked out.
A quick question caveat on that.
Yep.
If someone, I do sometimes get requests to comment on a particular blog post, so I would, probably the way I do that is that someone would email me and request it, and I would email them back my response, and I don't know if it matters whether I post it or they post it for me, or maybe you just don't want to allow that either, or maybe you want someone to review it first.
Until the communications policy is drafted, then there's no commenting anywhere.
Okay.
After the communications policy is drafted, then it's a pre-review for a limited amount of time, and then beyond that, then it's post-review.
And to be clear, Tim's volunteered to do that pre-review, and we haven't talked about how long that is. But
appreciate it, Tim.
So I want to make one other point about that. We're not planning as a board to pursue another executive director, and I personally want to say, and I think that most of the board agreed, although we didn't vote on this particular statement, but that I see you as the heart, still the heart and soul of this, and we expect to. The fact that we're not looking for another executive director, although we would look at any, if there was somebody great that stumbles into our lap somehow, we would be open to that. But basically, the picture is that you get your act together and learn from this and pursue the steps that are taken, that are mentioned, that we'd expect you to be, that you'd reapply for the executive director in some period of time, and that would be the track that we're on. So anyway, that's what we had.
I'm confused. We are or are not looking for another executive director.
We are
not going to proactively look for another executive director at this
for
point.
For two reasons. I mean, for one, because we want you to be the heart. So basically, the board is going to operate as the review of what you're doing. And we're going to expect you to go get this, to basically prove to us that you should earn it. And if you don't get it, then we have to look at either closing the organization or pursuing another option. But both from a budget practicality perspective and for me anyway, although I think different people have slightly different reasons, the belief that you are the person that ought to be running this long term, even though you did make this mistake, that we'd want to look at that, have you reapply in some period of time and reconsider that at that point. And if we decide, okay, no, you haven't taken the steps necessary to prove that you would be an effective, then we'll have to cross that bridge of whether that means shut down or find somebody else who we could somehow budget in and figure out how to do that.
It just seems a little weird to me to not have who's running things if I'm not executive director, but we don't have another one. I mean, do we have an acting, like, is Tim going to be acting executive director, or is it?
Well, Tim, do you want to describe that? This was Tim. Tim, do you want to describe how you think that can work?
Basically, we are going to operate without an executive director, and the way you do that is the board takes on more of a direct role.
Okay.
You and Ellie will be sort of proposing plans of action as if there was an executive director, and you would expect to have your executive director provide guidance and approval of your actions.
Okay.
So we expect biweekly plans from you. I think this is going to be best formed over email. Biweekly plans that the board is going to approve for some period of time.
Okay.
To follow up on what Greg said, simply that there will be a point, we will review actually biweekly and with regular, probably in 6 months, a decision on reinstatement or if you meet goals in your development, and if not, consider what the future of the organization is.
All right. Well, if you guys are willing to be that active, I appreciate it, because I know that not everyone necessarily was getting in for that when you were on the board, and I would like to also look for, for more board members. Okay. I mean, I'm fine with that. So what else?
Well, specifically, Bob kind of mentioned this, but I want to be specific about what we decided was that we would put aside $5,000 of your, like on some sort of basis, annualized basis, I don't know exactly how we do this, but $5,000 of your salary to go towards this, to budget essentially some sort of unspecified, executive development that Lucy had some ideas, and I don't know exactly how that's going to work, and if we don't find a way to get that extra money will go to, will go to our donations
we're just going to cut my salary by $5,000 and then budget $5,000 for development, and whatever's left over just goes back into the organization. That's what you're saying.
Right.
Yep. Okay.
So
is Ellie on this call?
So our next steps are, Tim has offered to draft sort of a first draft of much of the public, the public disclosure and announcement of our findings and our next steps. And so my sense is we'll try and ratify that over the next couple of days, and then we'll post that along with the audio recording of the meeting.
All right, I'm fine with that. I mean, one comment I have on that is that, to me, the one of the big questions about this whole thing is, it's like, just listen to this, like, it's obvious that I've got weaknesses, and yet you guys want to set me up as a future executive director anyway, and that is the kind of thing that you you would not do just out of inertia or, you know, I mean, I think we, whatever we write up has to explain exactly why we think this project is too valuable to do what is the much easier step and just discontinue it. Like, I think that would have to be, you know, that has to be pretty clear in our write-up, because that's the biggest question that's going to come to anyone's mind is they're, you know, they're doing this kind of strange thing. You know, why is it worth it? And so we have to make that case very clear why it's worth it and why we don't think that, like,
right, so
it's going to get done by other avenues.
Right, and we have the two aspects of that in my, you know, I think all of our views. There's two aspects of that, why we think the mission is worth it and then why we think Holden is worth it. And
yeah.
Again, we want to make statements on both those things. Both of those things, I think Bob mentioned that at the front, but I just wanted to, I agree completely, and that's what we agreed to make statements on why the board is supportive of GiveWell and the mission, and why, and then there's two levels of this that we're planning. One thing that everybody on the board agrees with in terms of your intentions in setting this up, et cetera, and then a concurring statement by Bob and I related to a statement about more generally your character, and that's where we left that.
Okay. All right, then I agree. So I guess another question in my head is, when we do this disclosure, you know, what is the nature of the disclosure? Who's getting notified? And what do we do with, like, I'm wondering, you know, obviously this goes on the blog, do we proactively tell, you know, all our donors, all the people who signed up for updates, you know, at what level do we proactively communicate? And then I also, like, there's a question in my mind about what this means. We've had, you know, a significant amount of money come in from total strangers on the website, and I wanted to bring that to your attention. I mean, most of the money given through our website has been to recommended charities, and it didn't touch us, but there was also money given to us. I mean, the link was kind of buried on the site, but there still was, and so I wanted to raise that, too.
You
understand why I'm bringing this up. Like, total strangers give us money, and then this incident happens, and we're making a pretty, you know, I mean, we all agree this is a serious incident, so that's
just... Well, I think you, so to me, I think you, we should, to me, I think you should notify the donor. We haven't thought about this, so I'm thinking off the cuff here, but I would say we should notify the donors and offer anybody, like, with the statement from the board, and offer anybody their money back who, on the basis of this, thinks that they made a mistake. I think that that's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
I want to just, this is Lucy stepping in here. I completely agree with that. Since the organization will be without an executive director, I think that communication needs to come from the board or the board chair.
Right. I
hold him.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep, I agree.
I agree with that.
Also, this is Virginia. I'm going to have to, unfortunately, go in a moment. But was there anything else that required my input before I get off the phone?
I don't think so. And I would, in fact, suggest that we don't spend more time on this call in particular discussing the details of how some of these things have been worked out until we have a draft of the statement, and then we can talk in more detail about the exact execution of some of these things.
Okay.
I agree.
All right, well, I guess I do have one last question, which is just, what should I be doing now? What should I be communicating now while we're working on this statement? Should I maintain the kind of silence on the blog? And I mean, I've basically been silent, so should I maintain that?
Yes. It would be by say is that we will have a statement from the board to go on the blog very, very quickly, and that you should not say anything anywhere.
Okay.
Until then.
Or Ellie. About this situation.
So, Ellie, we haven't heard from you at all. Just wondering what if you want to say anything, if you have any thoughts.
I mean, I agree with the plan. I think it's a decent plan. I do wonder whether we're a young organization, and when I think about what we're going to do over the next 6 months, it seems difficult with no executive director. I mean, it just seems. I think about us communicating with potential donors and communicating with charities and having no executive director honestly seems almost as big of a question mark as having this incident on our, you know, on our record. And so I just wonder, you know, where, you know, you're worried about one question we have is, can GiveWell get over this event? I wonder how much that adds to the problem.
It's also just kind of weird. Like, it's weird to have no executive director and have... but have a guy who you think is going to be the executive director. Like an, it's like
it, just it seems like an incredibly symbolic. Action.
I mean, I was gonna. I have a proposal for this. Like I like.
This is Lucy, and I'm because this is a board meeting, and this is a proposal from the board. I'm not open to discussing this any further. There's been a suggestion put forward, a decision made. And while we can discuss what and how the organization operates while without an executive director, I think that is that's the decision that's been made.
Can I, if you don't mind, Lucy, I would like to just, that I had that same confusion at the beginning of the conversation, and Tim helped me through that, and I would like to at least tell them what like how I came around to it. So. So just to take 1 minute, just not to reconsider the decision, but to help clarify it.
Does that need to be done online?
Okay, we can do that later.
Yeah. Okay, I'll just talk to Greg after this.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thanks very much. I really appreciate it. And again, I'm sorry for my actions.
Thank you, Holden.
Thank you. All right.
Apology accepted, Holden.
All right.
So, all right, good night, everyone. Hold on while everybody else hangs up. We can-